Elgar's Enigma Variations, played by the St. Petersburg Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Yuri Temikhanov at the BBC Proms in September. And we'll be hearing their second BBC Proms concert on New Year's Day. They'll be joined by the pianist Nikolai Lugansky for a performance of Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, and the orchestra will play Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade. And you can hear that on New Year's Day at 7 o'clock in the evening.
I just like hearing things I've never heard before.
I was exhilarated and excited.
It's new, it's totally unpredictable.
It just made me feel, you know, we need more of this in our lives.
2016 begins with a bang on Radio 3 with a celebration of contemporary music. Immerse yourself in a whole new world of sound through a week of programmes, live performances and the most exciting music.
From modernist masterpieces to the newest of the new. New Year, new music on Radio 3. Starts on New Year's Day. Make an alternative New Year's resolution this year. Reach out to the new with BBC Radio 3.
And that concert on New Year's Day follows the prom I was just talking about. At 8.30, we'll be hearing a rare complete performance of Stockhausen's iconic electroacoustic masterwork, Hymnen. Taking as the starting point a December live performance by the London Sinfonietta of Hymnen's Third Region, Radio 3 has also acquired copies of the original four-channel tapes of the remaining regions 1, 2 and 4 of Hymnen from the Stockhausen Foundation for Music in Germany. And this will be the first time that the whole piece has been broadcast in 4.0 surround sound. So do tune into that New Year's Day, 8.30 in the evening. Well, the time now is a couple of minutes after 9 o'clock, and time for our Drama on Three, Votes for Women. The playwright Jessica Swale took time out backstage at the Globe Theatre, where her play about the first women to study at Cambridge was being performed, to explain the significance of this week's drama.
Votes for Women was written by Elizabeth Robbins in 1907 and first produced at the Royal Court in London. But it really was a play rather ahead of its time. Elizabeth Robbins started writing this piece of work as a book, but as an actress herself, she understood the power of theatre to convey a dramatic message. And in fact, the play went on to spur the beginnings of the suffrage movement as it happened in the theatre, the Actresses' Franchise League, which was the theatrical arm of the suffragettes. At the turn of the century, women were expected to be quiet, and in fact, Queen Victoria was saying how important it was that women should keep quiet, and that the vain and wicked folly of the suffrage movement should be absolutely nipped in the bud, and that she found it terribly embarrassing that it happened in the first place. So at a time when women were being quiet and never being allowed to express an opinion, Robbins gives a voice to a good half of the population who for the first time were able to step up onto the public stage and speak exactly what they thought.
Votes for Women by Elizabeth Robbins, with Zoe Tapper, Samuel West and Charity Wakefield.
Has Miss Levering come down yet?
I haven't seen her, milady.
I won't have her disturbed if she's resting. She certainly needs it.
Yes, milady.
But I want her to know the moment she comes down that the new plans arrive by morning post.
Plans, my lady?
She'll understand. They're here. It's very important she should have them in time to look over them before she goes. Is that Miss Levering?
No, my lady. Mr. Farnborough.
I'm afraid I'm scandalously early. It didn't take me nearly as long to motor over as Lord John said.
I'm afraid my husband is no authority on motoring, and he's not home yet from church.
Well, it's the greatest luck finding you. I thought Miss Levering was the only person under this roof who was ever allowed to observe Sunday as a real day of rest.
If you've come to see Miss Levering...
Is she here? I give you my word, I didn't know it.
Oh?
Does she come every weekend?
Whenever we can get her to, but we've only known her a couple of months.
And I have only known her 3 weeks. Lady John, I've come to ask you to help me.
With Miss Levering? I can't do it.
No, all that's no good. She only laughs.
Ah, she looks upon you as a boy.
Such rot. What do you think she said to me in London the other day?
That she was 4 years older than you?
No. She said she knew she was all the charming things I'd been saying, but there was only one way to prove it, and that was to marry someone young enough to be her son. She'd noticed that that was what all the most attractive women did, and she named names.
You were too old.
Yeah. Her future husband, she said, was probably just entering Eton.
Just like her.
No, I wanted to see you about the secretaryship.
Ah, you didn't get it then?
It's the grief of my life.
Oh, if you don't get one, you'll get another.
But there is only one.
Only one vacancy?
Only one man I'd give my ears to work for.
I remember.
Do I always talk about Stoner?
I forget. Do you know Mr. Stoner personally, or are you just dazzled from afar?
Oh, I know him. The trouble is, he doesn't know me. If he did, he'd realise he can't be sure of winning his election without my valuable services.
Geoffrey Stoner's re-election is always a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, that the great man shares that opinion is precisely his weak point. His only one.
You think because the Liberals swept the country the last time...
How can we be sure any Conservative seat is safe after...
Forgive me, but I really must get back to these.
Oh, I know you're not interested in politics per se, but this concerns Geoffrey Stoner.
And you count on my being interested in him like all the rest of my sex.
Lady John, I've heard the news.
What news?
That your little niece, the Scotch heiress, is going to become Mrs. Geoffrey Stoner.
Who told you that?
Oh, please don't mind my knowing.
She had set her heart upon having a few days with just her family in on the secret.
Oh, that's all right. I always hear things before other people.
Well, I must ask you to be good enough to be very circumspect. I wouldn't have my niece think that
Oh, of course not.
She'll be here in an hour.
What? Today? The future Mrs. Stoner?
Yes. Unfortunately, we had one or two people already asked for the weekend. And
I go and invite myself to luncheon. Lady John, you can buy me off. I promise to remove myself in 5 minutes if you'll help...
No, the penalty is you shall stay and keep the others amused between church and luncheon and so leave me free. I must look at these. Only remember...
Oh, wild horses won't get a hint out of me. I only mentioned it to you because you've been so awfully kind. I thought... I hoped. Maybe you... You put in a word for me.
With?
With your nephew that is to be. You can't doubt how...
Oh, I don't doubt. But you know, Mr. Stoner inspires a similar enthusiasm in a good many young men. Oh,
they haven't studied the situation as I have. They don't know what's at stake. They didn't go to that whole Duckfield as I did, just to hear his Friday speech.
Ah, but you were rewarded. Jean, my niece, wrote me it was glorious.
Well, you know, I was disappointed. He's too content just to criticise, just to make his delicate, pungent fun of the men who are grappling, very inadequately, of course, with the big questions.
Who told you that?
Now that he's coming into the family, Lord John or somebody really ought to point out, Stoner's overdoing his role of magnificent security.
I don't see even Lord John offering to instruct Mr. Stoner.
Believe me, that's just Stoner's danger. Nobody's saying a word. Everybody hoping he's on the point of adopting some definite line, something strong and original that's going to fire the public imagination and bring the Tories back into power.
So he will.
Not if he disappoints meetings, goes calmly up to town and leaves the field to the Liberals.
When did he do anything like that?
Yesterday. And now he's got this other preoccupation.
You mean...
Yes, your niece. That spoilt child of fortune. She kept him from the meeting last night. Well, if that's the effect she's going to have, it's pretty serious.
You are.
I can assure you the election agent's more so.
How do you know?
I scraped acquaintance with the agent just to see if...
It's not only here that you manoeuvre for that secretaryship.
You can never tell when your chance might come. That election chap's promised to keep me posted.
Oh. Aunt Ellen, here I am.
My dear child.
Jean, I thought that was you running up the avenue.
Hello, Uncle John.
Hello, Nicky.
How did you get here so early? I knew
they'll
be surprised.
Tell each other for 10 minutes that she's an hour earlier than
so
we expected.
The
Freddie Tunbridges said they were coming to you this week.
Yes, he couldn't come, but she's here, dawdling back with the church brigade.
Oh.
No.
I'll go and meet them.
You must be dead.
That discreet young man will get on.
But how did you get here?
He motored me down.
Geoffrey Stoner?
Yes.
Why, well, where is he then?
He dropped me at the end of the avenue and went on to see a supporter about something.
Well, you let him go off like that
without... Just tell me, my child, is it all right?
My engagement? Yes, absolutely.
Geoffrey Stoner isn't going to be a little too old for you.
Bless me. Am I such a chicken?
24 used not to be so young, but it's become so.
Yes. We don't grow up so quick, but on the other hand, we stay up longer.
You've got what's vulgarly called looks, my dear, and that will help to keep you up.
I know what Uncle John's thinking, but I'm not the only girl who's been left what's vulgarly called money.
You're the only one of our immediate circle who's been left so beautifully much.
Ah, but remember, Geoffrey could, everybody knows he could, have married anyone in England.
I'm afraid everybody does know it, not excepting Mr. Stoner.
Well, how spoiled is the great man?
Not the least bit in the world. He wants so to know my best-loved relations better. An orphan has so few belongings, she has to make the most of them.
Let us hope he'll approve of us on more intimate acquaintance.
He will. He's an angel. Why, he gets on with my grandfather.
You mean to say Mr. Geoffrey Stoner isn't just a tiny bit superior about dissenters?
Not half as much as Uncle John and all the rest of you. My grandfather's been ill again, you know, and rather difficult, bless him.
Dear.
But Geoffrey...
He must have powers of persuasion to get that old Covenanter to let you come in a bored motor car. On Sunday, too.
Grandfather didn't know.
Didn't know.
I honestly meant to come by train. Geoffrey met me on my way to the station. Oh, Aunt Ellen, we're so happy. I've so looked forward to having you to myself the whole day just to talk to you about everything.
You'd find it
dreadfully dull to hear me talk about Geoffrey the whole blessed day.
Well, till luncheon, my dear, you mustn't mind if I get on.
Oh?
Miss Levering wasn't only tired last night, she was ill.
Now, I thought she looked very white.
Who is Miss... You don't mean to say there are other people?
Oh, one or two. Your uncle's responsible for asking that old cynic, St. John Greatorex.
Mr. Greatorex? He's a radical, isn't he?
Now, Jean, beginning to think in parties.
It's very natural now that she
I only meant it was odd he should be here. Naturally, at my grandfather's.
It's all right, my child. Of course, we expect now that you'll begin to think, feel and talk like Geoffrey Stoner. And quite proper, too.
Well, if I do think with my husband and feel with him, it will surprise me if I ever find myself talking a tenth as well as... You should have heard him at Duckfield. Oh, Mrs. Tunbridge! Not Aunt Lydia.
I couldn't help it. Oh, what a delightful surprise.
I'm so glad. How do you do, Mrs. Freddy?
My dear Jean, my darling child.
How do you do, Aunt Lydia?
I wasn't surprised. I always prophesied that you would...
We haven't met since you were in short skirts. I am Dick Farnborough.
Oh, I remember.
Not down yet? The elusive one?
Who is the elusive one?
Lady John's new friend.
Oh, I forgot you hadn't seen Miss Levering, Jean. Such a nice creature. Don't you think so, Mrs. Freddy?
Of course. You're lucky to get her to come so often.
She knows she can rest here.
What does she do to tire her?
She's been helping my sister and me with a scheme of ours.
She certainly knows how to inveigle money out of the men.
It would sound less equivocal, Lydia, if you added that the money is to build baths in our shelter for homeless women.
Homeless women?
Yes, in the most insanitary part of Soho.
Oh, really?
It doesn't sound quite in Miss Levering's line.
My dear boy, you know as little about what's in a woman's line as most men.
Oh, I say.
Philanthropy in a woman like Miss Levering is a form of restlessness, but she's a nice creature. All she needs is some nice fella to marry her.
Yes, a woman needs a balance wheel, if only to keep her from flying back to town on a hot day like this.
Who's proposing anything so...
The elusive one.
Not Miss...
before luncheon.
She must be in London by this afternoon, she says.
What for, in the name
of... Well, that I didn't ask her. And I think I'll just go up and see if I can find her.
Oh, yes, do that. She must be made to change her plans. Such a nice creature.
I protest against Miss Levering being carried off to discuss anything so revolting. What can a woman like you know about it?
Little enough, Mr. Greatorex. Good morning.
I should think so, indeed.
You aren't serious about going...
We were so happy out there in the summer house, weren't we, Miss Levering?
Ideally.
And to be hauled out to talk about public sanitation, forsooth. Why, God bless my soul, do you realise that's drains?
I'm dreadfully afraid it is. May I have my book?
I've kept my finger in the place.
Now my handkerchief will have to suffice.
But is not Italian literature a more savoury topic for a lady?
Although for the tramp population, less conducive to savouriness, don't you think, than
baths.
No, I can't understand this morbid interest in vagrants. You're much too... Leave it to the others.
What others?
Oh, the typical English spinster. You know, Italy's full of her. She never goes anywhere without a Macintosh and a collapsible bath. Rubber.
This is my niece, Miss Jean Dunbarton, Miss Levering.
How do you do?
I'm sure you agree with me, Miss Dunbarton.
About Miss Levering being too...
For that sort of thing. Much too.
What a pity you've exhausted the more eloquent adjectives.
But I haven't.
Well, you can't say to me as you did to Mrs. Freddy. You're too young and too happily married and...
For what was Mrs. Freddy too happily married and all the rest?
Mr. Greatrix was repudiating the horrid rumour that Mrs. Freddy had been speaking in public about women's trade unions. Wasn't that what you said, Mrs. Harriet?
Well, I don't...
Yes, it isn't made up as carefully as your aunt's parties usually are. Here we've got Greatrix, who hates political women, and we've got, in that mild and inoffensive-looking little lady, Mrs. Freddy. Oh,
you don't mean she's really...
Oh, and you've got me.
My dear child, he doesn't hate the charming wives and sweethearts who help him to win seats.
Uncle?
Mr. Greatrix objects only to the unsexed creatures who...
Yes, who want to act independently of men.
Vote and do silly things of that sort.
Exactly.
It will be a long time before we hear any more of that nonsense.
You mean that rowdy scene in the House of Commons?
Yes, Jean. No decent woman will be able to say suffrage without blushing for another generation, thank heaven.
Oh? I understood that so little, I almost imagined people were more stirred up about it than they'd ever been before.
Not people like you.
She's saying that only to get a rise out of you.
Yes. Your frocks aren't serious enough.
Of course, we know you've been an authority on the subject for... How many years is it you've kept the house in roars whenever women's rights are mentioned?
Oh, as long as I've known anything about politics, there have been a few discontented old maids and hungry widows.
A few? That's really rather forbearing of you, Mr. Greatrix. I'm afraid the number of the discontented and the hungry was 96,000 among the mill operatives alone.
Yes.
At least the papers said so, didn't they?
No, that kind of woman doesn't interest me, I'm afraid. There have been women for the last 40 years who haven't had anything more pressing to do than petition Parliament.
And that's as far as they've got.
It's as far as they'll ever get.
Yes,
Let me see. Wasn't it a deputation sent to you not long ago?
Yes.
I remember. I thought at the time, in my modest way, it was nothing short of heroic to go asking audience of their arch opponent.
It didn't come off.
Oh. I thought they insisted on bearding the lion in his den.
Of course I wasn't going to be bothered with a lot of...
You don't mean you refused to go out and face them?
I wouldn't have done it for worlds. But a friend of mine went out and had a look at them.
Well, did he get back alive?
Yes, but he advised me not to go.
You remember Mrs. Freddy's friend who came to tea here in the winter? He was a member of Parliament too, quite a little young one. He said women would never be respected till they had the vote.
I remember telling him that he was too young to know what he was talking about.
Yes, I'm afraid you all sat on the poor gentleman.
Oh, there you are. I've been looking for you, my dear.
Lady John.
Aunt Ellen told him with her most distinguished air she didn't want to be respected.
That's what I remember.
My dear Lady John.
Oh, quite right. Did. Awful idea to think you're respected.
Simply revolting.
Now, you frivolous people, go away. Oh. We've only got a few minutes to talk over the terms of the late Mr. Soper's munificence before the carriage comes for Miss Levering.
Mr. Farnborough, did you know she'd got that old horror to give Lady John £8,000 for her charity before he died?
Who got him to, Mrs. Freddy?
Miss Levering. She brought him round.
Oh, yes, by Jove, I expect she did.
Isn't she wonderful?
A nice creature. All she needs is...
And what's the money for?
Would you like to see the garden?
Certainly.
We can leave them to their work.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Too wonderful to waste your time on the wrong people.
We couldn't have got £8,000 out of you.
I'm not sure.
Oh?
If I gave you that much for your little projects, what would you give me?
Soper didn't ask that.
Soper? I should think not.
You two still talking Soper? Oh. How flattered the old beggar would be.
Did you hear what Mrs. Harriet said about him? We couldn't know him in London, but we shall meet him in heaven.
But it's a great risk. We know when we're not wanted.
Absolutely.
Come on, that's
where
we got.
Preparation. Sit over there, my dear. You needn't stay, Jean. This won't interest you.
It's only an effort to meet the greatest evil in the world.
What do you call the greatest evil in the world?
Really?
The helplessness of women.
Oh?
Jean, darling, I know you can think of nothing but him, so just go.
Indeed, I can think of everything better than I ever did before. He has made everything vivider, more significant.
Who has?
Oh, yes. I don't care about other things less, but 1,000 times more.
You are in love.
That's it. I congratulate you.
Well, this, as you can see from the new plans, obviates the difficulty you raise.
Yes, quite.
Oh, but it's going to cost a great deal more.
It's worth it.
We have nothing left for the organ at St. Pilgrim's.
My dear Lydia, we're putting the organ aside. What we must make for first is the cheap and humanely conducted lodging house.
There are several of those already, but poor St. Pilgrim's.
There are none for the poorest women.
No, even the excellent Soper was for multiplying Rowton houses. You can never get men to realise, but you can't always get women.
It's the work least able to wait.
I don't agree with you. And I happen to have spent a great deal of my life in works of charity.
Ah, then you'll be interested in the girl I saw dying in a tramp ward a little while ago. Glad her cough was worse, only she mustn't die before her father. Oh.
She didn't say, I suppose, how she happened to fall so low.
Yes, she'd been in service. She lost the train back one Sunday night and was too terrified of her employer to dare ring him up after hours. The wrong person found her crying on the platform.
Well, she should have gone to one of the friendly societies.
At 11 at night.
And there are the rescue leagues. I myself have been connected with one for 20 years.
20 years. Always arriving after the train's gone, after the girl and the wrong person have got to the journey's end.
Where is she now?
Never mind, Jean.
2 nights ago, she was waiting at a street corner in the rain.
Oh, near a public house, I suppose.
Yes, a sort of public house. She was plainly dying. She was told she shouldn't be out in the rain. I mustn't go in yet, she said. This is what he gave me. In her hand were 2 pennies silvered over to look like half crowns.
I don't believe that story. It's just the sort of thing some sensation monger trumps up. Who tells you such nonsense?
Several credible people. I didn't believe them till...
Till?
Till last week I saw for myself.
Saw? Where?
In a lodging house. Not 100 yards from the church you want a new organ for.
How did you happen to be there?
I was on a pilgrimage.
A pilgrimage?
Into the underworld.
You went?
How could you?
I put on an old gown and a tawdry hat. Lady John, you'll never know how many things are hidden from a woman in good clothes. The bold, free look of a man at a woman he believes to be destitute. You must feel that look on you before you can understand a good half of history.
Jean, I think it's time we should
but
go...
But where did you go, dressed like that?
Down among the homeless women, on a wet night looking for shelter.
No wonder you've been ill.
And it's like that.
No.
No.
It's so much worse, I dare not tell about it.
You needn't suppose, Jean, darling, that those wretched creatures felt it as we would.
The girls who need shelter and work aren't all serving maids.
We know that all the women who make mistakes aren't.
That is why every woman ought to take an interest in this. Every girl, too.
Yes, oh yes.
No, this is a matter for us older.
Or for a person who has special knowledge. We can't pretend to have access to such sources of information as Miss Levering.
Yes, as you seem to think, I have some first-hand knowledge about homeless girls.
Well, my dear, it'll all come in convenient when deciding on these.
It once happened to me to take offence at an ugly thing that was going on under my father's roof. Oh, years ago. I was an impulsive girl. I turned my back on my father's house.
That was ill-advised.
Of course. If a girl does that, she can have...
That was what all my relations said. And I couldn't explain.
Not to your mother?
She was dead. I went to London to a small hotel and tried to find employment. I wandered about all day and every day, from agency to agency. I was supposed to be educated. I'd been brought up partly in Paris. I could play several instruments and sing little songs in different tongues.
Did nobody want you to teach French or sing the little songs?
The heads of schools thought me too young. There were people ready to listen to my singing, but the terms, they were too hard. Soon my money was gone.
And still no work?
No. But by that time I had some real education. An unpaid hotel bill and not a shilling in the world. Some girls think it hardship to have to earn their living. The horror is not to be allowed to.
What happened?
My dear, Miss Levering, have your things been sent down? Are you quite ready?
Yes, all but my hat.
Well?
Well, by chance I met a friend of my family.
That was lucky.
I thought so. He was nearly 10 years older than I. He said he wanted to help me.
And didn't he?
Come, Jean.
Oh. Perhaps after all he did. But I belonged to the little class of armed women. My body wasn't born weak. My spirit wasn't broken by the habit of slavery. But I found there were pleasant parks, museums, free libraries in our great rich London. And not one single place where destitute women can be sure of work that isn't killing or food that isn't worse than prison fare. That's why women ought not to sleep at night till this shelter stands spreading out wide arms.
No, no.
Even when it's built. You'll see. Many of those creatures will prefer the life they lead. They like it.
Oh, Aunt.
A woman who knows told me many of them like it so much that they are indifferent to being sent to prison. It gives them a rest, she said.
A rest?
I should get ready.
Lydia, have you seen the plans?
I want to begin to understand something of... I'm horribly ignorant.
I'm a rather busy person.
I have quite a special reason for wanting not to be ignorant. I'll go to town tomorrow, if you'll come and lunch with me.
Thank you. I must go and put my hat on.
For all her shelter schemes, she's a hard woman.
Miss Levering is.
Oh, she has angled very adroitly for your sympathy.
She doesn't look hard.
I'm not sure. Her mouth, always like this. As if she were holding something by main force.
Well, so she is. I'll just check that she's signed the visitor's book.
Why haven't I seen her before?
Oh, she's lived abroad.
Oh. How did Aunt Ellen come to know her?
That was my doing, unfortunately.
She seems to go everywhere.
You mustn't ask her to Eaton Square.
I already have.
Then you'll have to get out of it.
I must have a reason, and a good one.
Well, it's not a thing I should have preferred to tell you, but I suppose you'll have to know. It was 10 or 12 years ago. I found her horribly ill in an isolated Welsh farmhouse. We had taken the manor for that August. The farmer's wife was frightened and begged me to go and see what I thought. I soon saw how it was. I thought she was dying.
Dying? What was the...
I got no more out of her than the farmer's wife did. She had had no letters, there had been no one to see her, except a man down from London, a shady-looking doctor.
Oh?
Nameless, of course. And then this result. The farmer and his wife, highly respectable people, were incensed. They were for turning the girl out.
Oh.
Yes, I insisted they should treat the girl humanely, and we became friends. That is, sort of. In spite of all I did for her...
What did you do?
I've told you. And I lent her money. No small sum, either.
Has she never paid it back?
Oh, yes, after a time. But I always kept her secret, as much as I knew of it.
But you've been telling me.
That was my duty. And I never had her full confidence.
Wasn't it natural that she wouldn't...
Well, she might have wanted to tell me who was responsible.
Oh, Aunt Lydia!
All she ever said was that she was ashamed, that she hadn't had the courage to resist. Not the original temptation, but the pressure brought to bear on her not to go through with it, as she said.
You're being so delicate, I'm not sure I understand.
The only thing you need to understand is that she's not a desirable companion for a young girl.
When did you see her after... After...
Last winter. At the Bishop's. Your aunt and uncle are quite foolish about her, and I'm debarred from taking any steps, at least till the shelter is out of hand.
I do rather wonder she can bring herself to talk about the unfortunate women of the world.
The effrontery of it.
Or the courage.
I feel I owe it to your dead mother, especially as you're old enough now to know something about life.
And since a girl needn't be very old to suffer for her ignorance... I felt she was rather wonderful.
Wonderful?
To have lived through that when she was... how old?
Oh, 19 or thereabouts.
5 years younger than I.
Oh, it was too bad to have to tell you such a sordid story today of all days.
It is a very terrible story, but this wasn't a bad time. I feel very sorry today for women who aren't happy. That's Geoffrey.
Mr. Stoner, what makes you think
it's him? Yes, I'm sure.
Who do you think is motoring up the drive?
Oh, dear, how am I ever going to be able to behave like a girl who isn't engaged to the only man in the world worth marrying?
You were expecting Mr. Stoner all the time.
He promised to come to luncheon if it was humanly possible, but I was afraid to tell you for fear he'd be prevented.
Oh, you felt we couldn't have borne the disappointment.
No, I felt I couldn't.
Here's an agreeable surprise.
Oh. It is, Mr. Stoner. How do you do?
How do you do, Roger?
Yes, by Jove, what gigantic luck.
Why, Mr. Stoner, you may not remember me. I'm Jean's aunt.
Of course, how do you do? I'm Jean.
Such a long time since we met.
I could hardly believe my ears when I heard you motored to see a supporter on Sunday, Stoner.
It's no use to stand for your borough anymore. The American, you know, he runs for Congress. By and by, we shall all be flying after the things we want.
All sorts of irrelevant people here.
How do you do, Mr. Stoner?
Oh, how do you do?
Some of them were arguing in the smoking room last night whether it didn't hurt a man's chances going about in a motor.
Yes, we've been hearing a lot of stories about their unpopularity among the class that hasn't got them, of course.
I'm sure you gain more votes by being able to reach so many more of your constituency than we used to.
I've sometimes wondered whether the charm of our presence wasn't counterbalanced by the way we tear about smothering our fellow beings in dust and running down their pigs and chickens, not to speak of their children.
What, on the whole, are the prospects?
We shall have to work harder than we realize.
He says he believes I'll be able to make a real difference to his chances, Uncle John. Isn't it angelic of him?
Angelic? Machiavellian? I pin all my hopes on your being able to counteract the pernicious influence of my opponent's glib wife.
You want me to have a real share in it all, don't you, Geoffrey?
Of course I do.
I don't gather you're altogether sanguine.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the papers, but there's this agitation about the woman question. Oddly enough, it seems likely to affect the issue.
I'm going to do what the other 400 have done.
Easily. But you see, the mere fact that 420 members have been worried into promising support and then once in the House have let the matter severely alone...
I should think so indeed.
Of course, only it's a device that's somewhat worn.
Still, if they think they're getting a future cabinet minister on their side...
It will be sufficiently embarrassing for the cabinet minister. Oh.
Oh, Miss Levering, do you know each other?
Everybody in this part of the world knows Mr. Stoner, but he doesn't know me.
Miss Levering.
Oh, have you been hearing him speak?
Yes, I was visiting some relations near Dartfield. They took me to hear you.
Oh, the night the suffragettes made their customary row?
The night they asked...
Well, Mrs. Freddy, what do you think of your friends now?
My friends?
Yes, the disorderly women.
They're not my friends, but I don't think you must call them...
Why not? I can forgive them for worrying the late government, but they are disorderly.
Isn't the phrase consecrated to a different class?
He's perfectly right. How do you do?
How do you do?
Public nuisance. Going about with dogs and whips and spitting in policemen's faces.
I wonder if they did spit.
Of course they did.
You know authority. You run away.
Yes. And if I ever muster up courage to come back, it'll be to vote for better manners in public life.
Don't think that I defend the suffragette methods.
Still, you are an advocate of the suffrage, aren't you?
If you cared to know the attitude of the real workers in the reform, you might have noticed in any paper last week we lost no time in disassociating ourselves from the little group of hysterical...
They have lowered the whole sex in the eyes of the entire world.
I can't quite see what they want, those suffragettes.
Notoriety.
Well, there's one sure thing, they've dished their goose.
Oh, I hope they'll last till the election's over.
Why?
Oh, we want them to get the working man to vote for the Conservative candidate, isn't that so?
Fancy, gee.
The working man's a good deal of an ass, but even he won't listen to...
But he does listen like anything. I asked why there were so few at the Long Mitcham meeting, and I was told, oh, they've all gone to hear Mrs...
That's just for a lark, that was.
It has no real effect on the vote.
Oh.
Not the smallest.
Well, I thought you said...
I've a notion a little soap and water wouldn't do me any harm.
I'll take you up.
Thank you.
Well, if women are of no importance in politics... It isn't for the reason you gave. There is now and then a weekender among them.
Lord! the perils that beset the feet of man.
Mr. Farnborough, why does he behave like that?
His moral sense is shocked.
Why, I saw him and Mrs. Freddy together at the French play the other night, as thick as thieves.
Ah, that was before he knew her revolting views.
What revolting views?
Shh! Sunday.
I can't believe women are so helpless when I see men so afraid of them.
The great mistake was in teaching them to read and write.
Say something, Miss Levering.
That wasn't the worst mistake. That was in letting women learn to talk.
Ah, I see now what's to be the next great reform.
When women are all dumb, no more discussions of the Paradiso.
The thing itself. That's a great deal better than talking about it, as I'm sure you know.
Why do you think I know?
Only the plain women are in any doubt. Come with me, Farnborough. I cannot go about unprotected. Have you smelt the bread?
It's true what that old cynic says. Fine. The scene in the house has put back the reform a generation.
I wish I'd been there.
I was.
Oh. Was it like the paper said?
Worse. I've never been so moved in public. Oh. There we all sat, breathless, with everything more favourable to us than it had been within the memory of women. Another 5 minutes and the resolution would have passed. Then, all in a moment...
Listen, Lydia, they're talking about the female hooligans.
No, thank you. I'm happier here with the Church Times.
All in a moment, a horrible, clingy little flag was poked through the grill of the women's gallery. Cries, insults, scuffling, the police... The ignominious turning out of the women, us as well as them. Then the next morning, the people gloating, our friends antagonised, people who were wavering, nearly won over, all thrown back, heartbreaking. Even my husband. Freddie's been an angel about letting me take my share when I felt I must, but after that he said... It just shows how unfit women are for any sort of coherent thinking or concerted action.
It must be dreadful to find you've done such a lot of harm to the thing you care most about in the world.
The work of 40 years destroyed in 5 minutes.
Oh. Do you picture the suffragettes sitting in sackcloth?
Well, they can't help realising now what they've done.
Isn't it just possible that they realise they've waked up interest in the woman question? So that it's advertised in every paper and discussed in every house from Land's End to John O'Groats. That there's been more said and written about it in these 10 days since than in the 10 years before it.
You aren't saying you think it was a good way to get what they wanted.
Didn't Mr. Greatorex say women had been politely petitioning Parliament for 40 years?
I thought I'd heard somebody say the bill had got as far as that time and time again.
Oh, no, surely not.
Yes... This was only a resolution. The bill passed a second reading 7 years ago.
And what difference did it make?
The men laughed rather louder.
Well, you don't think all men in Parliament are like that?
I don't think all men are burglars, but I lock my doors.
You think that night of the scene the men didn't mean to play fair?
I wasn't there. But I haven't heard anybody deny that the women waited till 10 minutes to 11... Then they discovered the policeman who'd been sent up at the psychological moment to the back of the gallery. Then, I'm told, when the woman saw that they were betrayed once more, they utilised the few minutes left to impress on the country at large the fact of their demands. Did it in the only way left to them.
Oh, come, be fair.
Well, you must admit, the men had stopped laughing at last. Mm-hmm. Men even advertised how little they appreciated the fun by sending the women to jail. And all the world was talking about it.
I have noticed whenever the men aren't there, the women sit and discuss that scene.
Well, I shan't have to wait till the men are gone. He is in sympathy.
How do you know?
He told the interrupting woman so.
But, Miss Levering, the only chance of our getting what we want is by winning over the men.
Why are you smiling, Miss Levering?
That's been the woman's way for centuries. Do you think the result should make us proud of our policy? Yes? Then go and walk in Piccadilly at midnight. No, I forgot.
Yes, it's not the first time you've forgotten.
I forgot the magistrate's ruling. That no decent woman had any business to be in London's main thoroughfare at night unless she has a man with her.
Jean, come.
Oh, no, come.
My dear, I think Lydia Herriot's right. We oughtn't to do anything or say anything to encourage this ferment of feminism.
It's likely to bring a very terrible thing in its train.
What terrible thing?
Sex antagonism.
Oh, it's here.
Don't say that.
You're so conscious it's here, you're afraid to have it mentioned.
If it's here, it's the fault of those women agitators.
All this talk against the wicked suffragettes, Miss Levering, it makes me want to go and hear what they've got to say for themselves.
Well, they're holding a meeting in Trafalgar Square at 3 o'clock.
This afternoon? But that's no use to people out of town. Unless I could invent some excuse.
Still talking over the shelter plans?
No, we left the shelter some time ago.
Yeah, then what's all the chatterment about?
The latest thing in Vales.
The invincible frivolity of women. Oh, don't scold them. It's a very proper topic.
Oh, I was afraid you'd despise us for it.
Yes, that's
not in the least.
They're coming for you, Miss Levering.
A telegram, madam.
Oh, for me?
But it's time I was...
Do you mind if I read it? Oh, Miss Levering, I've got your book. Dante! Whereabouts are you? The Inferno.
No, I'm in a worse place.
I didn't think there was a worse place.
Stella, got everything you need?
Thank you, Lord John.
Aunt Ellen, I've got to go to London.
Nonsense. Is your grandfather worse?
I don't think so, but it's necessary that I should go all the same.
Go away when Mr. Stoner has come...
No, he said he'd have to leave directly after luncheon.
I'll see Miss Levering off and then I'll come back and talk about it.
Why are you saying goodbye as if you were never coming back?
One never knows. Maybe I shan't come back. Goodbye, Mr. Stoner.
Goodbye.
There may be another train, Miss Levering.
What if there isn't? I'll take you back in the motor.
Will you? I must be there by 3. Oh,
you've dropped... It's only an invitation to dine. Wednesday.
Shh. Oh, I see.
It's rather dear of you to arrange our going off like that. You are a clever little girl.
It's not that I was arranging. I want to hear those women in Trafalgar Square. The suffragettes.
How perfectly absurd. Besides, I expect she wouldn't like my carrying you off like that.
Then she'll have to make an excuse and come too.
It wouldn't be quite the same.
We could get back here in time for dinner. Oh, is that my handkerchief?
No. Yours, I think, Miss Levering.
I'll do... Oh. That's not an L, it's a V-I...
Come, Vida, since you will go.
Yes, I'm coming.
I didn't know her name was Vida. How did you? Geoffrey?
To say it's only the well-off women what's wanting the vote. What about the 96,000 textile workers? What about the Yorkshire tailoresses? We see there's reforms needed. We ought to have the vote. And we know how to appreciate the other women who go to prison for trying to get it for us.
You evidently don't know what had to be done by men before the extension of the suffrage in 67.
You say a woman's place is home? Don't you know there's a third of the women of this country got to go out to help pay the rent and keep the home from being sold up? And some women that haven't got any homes at all.
You said you got one. Why don't you stop in it?
Oh, yes, sir. That's like a man.
You go home and nurse a baby.
Yeah, I do nurse my baby. I've nursed 7. What have you done for yours?
Oh, I say.
But we don't only want better things for our own children. We want better things for all. Every child is our child.
What about the men? Are they all happy?
There's lots of you men I'm sorry for. We'll help you if you'll let us.
You women are blacklegging the men.
Now, why would any woman take less wages than a man for the same work? Do you really think we've got a liking for low wages? Oh. And when we get our rights, a woman's flesh and blood won't be so much cheaper than a man's that employers can get rich on keeping you out of work and sweating us. We've got the same cause.
True as gospel.
We ought to have the vote.
Miss Ernestine Blunt will now address you.
That was a bad for a woman.
not for a woman.
Perhaps I'd better begin by explaining a little about our tactics. Women first petitioned Parliament for the franchise as long ago as 1866.
How'd you know? You weren't there.
Yeah, well, that was the trouble.
And the petition was presented...
Now she's got to have a cradle.
Presented to the House of Commons by that great Liberal... John Stuart Mill. Bills or resolutions have been before the House on and off for the last 36 years. That, roughly, is our history. So we said we must try some other way. How did the working man get the suffrage, we asked ourselves? Well, we turned up the records and we saw...
Chartist riots, she's thinking of.
We don't want to follow such a violent example. But if that's the only way we can make the country see we're in earnest, we are prepared to show them.
Yeah, and they'll show you if you're month-hard labour.
Don't think that going to prison has any fears for us. We'd go for life if it meant we could get freedom for the rest of the women.
Why don't the men help you to get your rights?
It's partly they don't understand yet. But even the bravest man is afraid of ridicule. Oh, yes, we've heard a great deal about the timidity and the sensitiveness of women. And we are sensitive. But we've come to know the value of ridicule. We owe our sincerest thanks to the comic writers. Who cartoons people who are of no importance?
I admit that.
But our greatest debt of gratitude we owe to the man who called us female hooligans. If everybody said we were nice, well-behaved women, who'd come to hear us? Not the men. Let the men attend to being manly. That will take them all their time. Do you know that out of every 100 women in this country, 82 are wage-earning women? It used to be thought unfeminine for women to be students and aspire to the arts that bring fame and fortune. But nobody has ever said it was unfeminine for women to do the heavy drudgery that's badly paid. And the men didn't hanker after it.
The House of Commons won't give you justice. What are you gonna have, your lord?
What? You'll be allowed to ask any question you like at the end of the meeting.
Do you mind if we just stood here? Thank you.
Oh, I can't see.
Is that all right?
Are you okay?
Will a woman fight in a war?
Oh. Yes,
is she one of them, that little thing?
I suppose so.
Are you married?
This man is asking.
Oh, ask someone, Geoffrey. I'm so disappointed. I did so hope to hear one of the...
Will the women fight?
The worst.
Can you tell me, my man, which are the ones that make the disturbances?
The one that's doing the talking. She's the disturbingest of the lot.
Not that nice little...
There'll be less likelihood of war. But that's not to say women can't fight. The Boer women did. The Russian women face conflicts worse than any battlefield can show. But our part has been to go about after you men in wartime and pick up the pieces. If you know anything about military nursing, you know a good deal of our work has been done in the face of danger, but it's always been done.
That's so!
You can't any longer keep women out of the industries. The only question is, upon what terms shall she continue to be in? If it's on bad terms, it's hurting her and you. But we're willing to leave you your trade in war. Let the men take life. We give life. No one will pretend ours isn't one of the more dangerous trades. I won't say any more to you now, because we've got a new woman helper that I want you to hear.
Well, Geoffrey.
Well, Jean.
Nothing reprehensible in what she said, was there?
Reprehensible.
Makes me rather miserable all the same.
You mustn't take it as much to heart as all that.
I can't help it. I shall never be able to make a speech like that.
I hope not, indeed.
Why, I thought you said you wanted
to make nice little speeches with composure. So I did.
You said...
That you have very pink cheeks. Well, I stick to that.
Shh. Don't tell everybody.
And you're the only female creature I ever saw who didn't look a fright in motor things.
I'm glad you don't think me a fright.
I will now ask William Pilcher to address the meeting.
Oh, don't go yet, Aunt Ellen.
Go? Certainly not. I want to hear another. I can't believe, you know, that she was really one of the worst.
Any men here belonging to the Labour Party? Well, if I need to tell these men, the vote has done us some good.
and it'll do us a lot more good when you know how to use the power you've got in your hand.
It's those fellas at the bottom of the street that's got the power.
It's you and men like you who gave it to them. You carried the Liberals into Parliament Street on your own shoulders. You believed all their fine words. You never asked yourself, what's a Liberal anyway?
He's a jolly good fellow.
No, he ain't. Well, if he is jolly, it's only because he thinks you're such a silly codfish, you go swelling his majority again. It's enough to make any Liberal jolly to see sheep like you looking on proud and happy while you see Liberal leaders deserting Liberal principles. You show me a Liberal, I'll show you a Mr. Face in both ways.
Well, this is getting interesting.
Hey, he sheds the light of his warm and handsome smile on the working man. Round the other side, he's tipping a wink to the great landowners. That's to let them know he's standing between them and the socialists.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Socialists. The Liberal is the judicial sort of chap that sits in the middle.
On the fence?
Well, it ain't always so comfortable in the middle. You like to get squeezed. Now, I say to the women, the Conservatives don't promise you much, but what they promise, they do.
This fellow isn't half bad.
The Liberals will promise you the earth and give you the whole of nothing.
Ah.
Isn't it fun? Now, aren't you glad I brought you?
This chap's rather amusing.
The women want the vote, why aren't they here to say so? Hey, well, I'll tell you why. It's because they've had to get the dinner for you and me, and now they're washing the dishes.
We ought to stay on and wash the dishes.
If they'd leave it to us once or twice, perhaps we'd understand a little more about the woman question.
You can't even talk grammar.
Yeah, I'm not here to talk grammar, but to talk reform. But I'll say in passing that if my mother had had her rights, maybe my grandma would have been better.
Well, what do you think now, little one?
I like this man.
Wait a bit, half a minute, my man.
Who are you talking to? I ain't your man.
There seems to be a gentleman here who doesn't think women ought to have the vote.
One?
Ooh. Perhaps he don't know much about women.
I'm married, you know.
Oh, well then. No doubt his wife is saying, heaven be praised, those women are making a demonstration in Trafalgar Square. And I'll have a little peace and quiet at home for one Sunday in my life. You're like the man who asked me this morning, how would you like men to stay at home and do the family washing? I told him, I have too much respect for me clothes.
It's a woman's place to do the washing.
I'm not sure you ain't right. For a good many of you fellas, from the look of you, you can't even wash yourself.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, well, it takes about 10 of your sort to make a man, so you may take it, I mean the lot of you.
Here she is.
Now, there's another woman going to speak.
Oh, is she who? I do hope she'll be one of the wild ones.
Oh.
What is it?
We're going now.
Oh, no, not yet. Oh, please, not yet. Why?
I'm going to take Jean out of this mob, Lady John. Will you come?
What? No. Well, yes, if you think...
But isn't that... Yes, it is. Geoffrey.
Lady John's tired, Jean.
But you don't see who it is. Geoffrey. Oh, Geoffrey, what is it? What is it?
Mr. Chairman, men and women.
We can't hear you. Hey.
I just wanted to tell you that I was present in the police court when the women were charged for creating a disturbance.
You oughtn't get mixed up in what don't concern you.
I didn't know that.
This one's that.
I didn't know.
You're a disgrace, there, women behind you.
The way goes on, this makes the government keep you from getting your rights.
Yes. This is the first time I've ever gone on, as you call it. But they never gave me a vote.
And there are four women on this platform. Well, we'd agree to be disfranchised all our lives if they'd give the vote to all the other women.
Here, you made one speech. Give the lady a chance.
That's just what I wanted you to do.
Perhaps you don't know. You don't...
How are we going to know if you can't tell us?
Thank you for that. We couldn't have a better motto. Well, I certainly didn't know before that the sergeants and policemen are instructed to deceive the people as to the time such cases are heard. You ask, and you're sent to Marlborough Police Court instead of to Marylebone.
I want to send you to Holloway! Do your good!
You're told the case will be at 2 o'clock, and it's really called for 11. That's almost the first thing we have to learn. To get over our touching faith that because a man tells us something, it's true. I got to the right court. I was too early. At the door, I saw the helmets of 2 policemen. And I thought, what sort of felon is to stand in the dock before the women whose crime is they ask for the vote? Then the policeman got nearer and I saw a little, thin, half-starved boy. What do you think he was charged with? Stealing. What had he been stealing? Milk.
Shame.
It seemed to me as I sat there looking on that the men who had the affairs of the world in their hands from the beginning and who've made so poor a business of it. They've so notoriously failed. I began to say to myself, isn't it time the women lent a hand?
Would you have women magistrates?
Women? Let them prove first they deserve.
They study music by their thousands. Where's their Beethoven? Where's their Plato? Where's the woman Shakespeare?
Now, men, give this lady a fair hearing. Don't interrupt.
It's all right. These questions are quite proper. Since when was human society held to exist for its handful of geniuses? How many Platos are there here in this crowd?
Give her one!
Not one. Yet, railroads and ships are built, homes are kept going, and babies are born. The world goes on. It goes on by virtue of its common people. I am not concerned that you should think we women can paint great pictures, or compose immortal music, or write good books. I am content that we should be classed with the common people who keep the world going. But I'd like the world to go a great deal better. I have been inquiring into the kind of lodging the poorest class of homeless women can get in this town of London. I find that only the men of that class are provided for. Some measure to establish Rowton houses for women has been before the London County Council. They looked into the question very carefully. And what did they decide? They decided that they could do nothing.
Is that true, Geoffrey?
I don't know.
If these cheap and decent houses were opened, they said, the homeless women in the streets would make use of them. That was actually the decision and the reason given.
You think this is the kind of thing suitable for G?
But the men, I said, are all who avail themselves of the Lord Rowton's hostels, are they all angels? Or does wrongdoing in a man not matter?
Geoffrey, she's looking at us.
Yet women are recommended to depend on the chivalry of men.
At you.
Justice and chivalry.
I think she's seen us.
You've seen the accounts of the girl tried in Manchester for the murder of her child, an orphan of 18, who crawled with the dead body of her newborn child to her master's back door and left the baby there. She dragged herself a little way off and fainted. A few days later, she found herself in court being tried for the murder of her child. Her master, a married man, had reported the find at his back door to the police and been summoned to give evidence. The girl cried out to him in the open court, "You are the father." He couldn't deny it. The coroner, at the jury's request, censured the man and regretted that the law didn't make him responsible. But he went scot-free. And that girl is now serving her sentence in Strangeways jail.
Why do you dislike her so?
I? Why should you think...
I never saw you look as you did... as you do.
Order! Please! Give the lady a fair hearing!
Men make boast that an English citizen is tried by his peers. A woman is arrested by a man, brought before a man judge, tried by a jury of men, condemned by men, taken to prison by a man, and by a man she's hanged. Where in all this were her peers? What man has the knowledge that makes him a fit judge of a woman's deeds at that time of anguish? That hour that some woman struggled through to put each man here into the world. Some of you here call yourselves labour men. Every woman who has borne a child is a labour woman. No man among you can judge what she goes through in her hour of darkness.
Geoffrey.
In that great agony, when even under the best conditions, many a woman falls into temporary mania and not a few go down to death. Women know of these things, as those know burning who have walked through fire.
No, Geoffrey, please don't touch me.
To be sorry.
Jean,
no, Geoffrey.
We women must organise. We must work together. We have all worked so long and so exclusively for men. We hardly know how. But we must learn. Those who can may give money. Those who haven't pennies to give can give some share of their sympathy and support.
Lady John, I'm glad I've got power.
Power? You?
Yes, all that money.
Oh, yes.
Jean.
I hope you'll all join the union. Come up after the meeting and give your names.
You won't get many men.
Then it is to the women I appeal. I don't say it wouldn't be better if men and women did this work together. But the mass of men won't have it so. I only hope they'll realise in time the good they've renounced and the spirit they've aroused. For I know as well as any man could tell me, it would be a bad day for England if all women felt about all men as I do.
Order! Order!
I'm going to see her.
Jean, here, follow me.
No, no.
You're going the wrong way.
This is the way I must go.
You can get out quicker on this side.
I don't want to get out.
What? Where are you going?
To ask that woman to let me have the honour of working with her.
Madam.
Shh.
Yes, madam. Mr. Stoner.
Speak low, please.
I waited about a whole hour for you to come back. If you didn't mind leaving me like that, you might have considered Lady John.
Is she with you?
No, my place was nearer and she was very tired. I left her to get some tea. We couldn't tell whether you'd be here or what had become
of
you.
Mr. Trent got us a hansom.
Trent?
The chairman of the meeting.
Got us?
Miss Levering and me.
What has been...
Oh, you'll forgive this incursion, Miss Dumbarton, when you hear. They've been telegraphing you all over London, Mr. Stoner.
Who did? What's up?
There was the devil to pay at Duckfield last night. The Liberal chap tore down from London and took over your meeting.
Oh, nothing about it in the Sunday paper.
Wait till you see the press tomorrow morning. There was a great rally and the beggar made a rousing speech.
What about?
Abolition of the upper house.
Oh, they were at that when I was at Eton.
Yes, but this new man has got a way of putting things. The people went mad. The Liberal platform, as defined at Duckfield, is going to make a big difference.
You think so?
Well, your agent says as much. Read this.
Right. Try find Stoner.
Tremendous effect of last night's Liberal manifesto ought to be counteracted in tomorrow's papers. You see, Mr. Stoner, it's a battle cry we want.
Claptrap.
They've been saying we have nothing to offer but personal popularity. No practical reform, no...
No truckling to the masses, I suppose.
Well, in these democratic days... I hope you'll forgive my bursting in like this, Jean. But I can see you realise the gravity. It isn't as if he were going to be a mere private member. Everybody knows he'll be in the cabinet.
Maybe a Liberal cabinet.
Nobody thought so up to last night. Why, even your brother's... But I'm afraid I'm seeming a...
What about my brother?
I met Lord Windlesham as I rushed out of the Carlton. I told him the Duckfield news.
Well?
He said it only confirmed his fears.
Said that, did he?
Yes. Defeat is inevitable, he thinks, unless you can manufacture some political dynamite within the next few hours. Those were his words.
You are very tired, Jean.
No.
I'm obliged to you for taking so much trouble. I'll see what can be done.
If you'd like to wire, I'll take it.
You don't understand, my young friend. Moves of this kind are not rushed at by responsible politicians. I must have time for consideration.
Oh. Well, I only hope someone else won't jump into the breach before you. Goodbye. I'll be at the club just in case I can be of any use.
No, don't do that. If I should have anything new to say...
But as your brother...
If I decide on a counterblast, I shall telegraph to headquarters. Goodbye.
Goodbye. The country's going to the dogs.
Political dynamite, eh? After all, women are much more conservative than men, aren't they? Especially the women the property qualification would bring in. You see now one reason why I've encouraged you to take an interest in public affairs. Because people like us don't go screaming about it, it's no sign we don't, some of us, see what's on the way. However little they want to, women of our class will have to come into line. All the best things in the world, everything that civilization has won, will be in danger if, when this change comes, the only women who have practical political training are the women of the lower classes. And women inoculated by the socialist virus.
Geoffrey.
Let us see how we shall put it when the time comes, shall we?
What?
Vote. Woman. Enough dynamite in that? Rather too much, isn't there, little girl?
Geoffrey, I know her story.
Whose story?
Miss Leverings.
Whose?
Vida Leverings.
I don't... No.
Why did you desert her?
I?
Why did you do it?
What in the name of... What has she been saying to you?
Someone else told me part. Then the way you looked when you saw her at Aunt Ellen's. Miss Levering saying you didn't know her, then you're letting out that you knew even the curious name on the handkerchief. Oh, I pieced it together.
Your ingenuity is undeniable.
And then when she said that at the meeting about the dark hour, and I looked at your face, it flashed over me. Why did you desert her?
I didn't desert her.
Oh.
My dear.
I'm glad.
I don't know.
She went away from you then.
You don't expect me to enter into...
She went away from you?
Yes.
Was that because you wouldn't marry her?
I couldn't marry her, and she knew it.
Did you want to?
I thought I did. Then. It's a long time ago.
And why couldn't you?
Why are you interrogating me? It's a matter that concerns another woman.
If you're saying that it doesn't concern me, you're saying that you don't concern me.
In those days, I was... absolutely dependent on my father.
Why, you must have been 30, Geoffrey.
What? So, thereabout.
And everybody says you're so clever.
Well, everybody's mistaken.
It must have been terribly hard.
My dear.
For you both. That a man like you shouldn't have had the freedom that even the lowest seem to have.
Freedom?
To marry the woman they choose.
She didn't break off our relations because I couldn't marry her.
Why was it then?
You're too young to discuss such a...
I'm not so young as she was.
Very well, then. The truth is, it didn't seem to weigh upon her that I wasn't able to marry her.
Why are you so sure of that?
Because she didn't so much as hint such a thing when she wrote that she meant to break off the...
What made her write like that?
Why will you go on talking of what's so long over and ended?
What reason did she give?
If your curiosity has got the upper hand, ask her.
You're afraid to tell me.
I still hoped, at that time... to win my father over. She blamed me because... if the child had lived, it wouldn't have been possible to get my father to overlook it.
You wanted it overlooked? I don't understand.
Of course you don't. If you did, you wouldn't be the beautiful, tender, innocent child you are.
I'm glad you didn't mean to desert her, Geoffrey. It wasn't your fault. Only some misunderstanding that can be cleared up.
Cleared up?
Yes, cleared up.
You aren't thinking that this miserable old affair I'd as good as forgotten.
Forgotten?
No, I don't mean exactly forgotten, but you're torturing me, so I don't know what I'm saying. You aren't, Jean, you aren't going to let it come between you and me.
I can't make or unmake what's past. But I'm glad, at least, that you didn't mean to desert her in her trouble. You'll remind her of that first of all, won't you?
Where are you going? Why should I remind anybody of what I want only to forget?
Shh.
You don't mean that she...
Yes. I left her to get a little rest.
I don't
Geoffrey,
want...
don't go before you hear me. I don't know if what I think matters to you now, but you can still make me think of you without shrinking, if you will.
What is it you are asking of me?
To make amends, Geoffrey.
You poor little innocent.
I'm not so innocent, but what I know, you must right that old wrong.
You aren't insane enough to think I would go back to something that 10 years ago was ended forever. It's stark, staring madness.
What you did 10 years ago, that was mad. This is paying a debt.
Look here, Jean, you're dreadfully wrought up. Tired,
no,
too.
No, not tired, though I've travelled so far today. I know you smile at sudden conversions. You think they're hysterical, but people must get their revelations how they can. And, Geoffrey, if I can't make you see this one of mine, I shall know your love could never mean strength to me. And I shall be afraid. So afraid I'll never dare to give you the chance of making me loathe myself. I shall never see you again.
How right I was to be afraid of that vein of fanaticism in you.
Certainly you couldn't make a greater mistake than to go away now and think it any good ever to come back. Even if I came to feel different, I couldn't do anything different. I should know that it would poison my life in the end. Yours too.
She has made good use of her time.
What do you mean?
Why is she intriguing to get hold of a man that 10 years ago she flatly refused to see or hold any communication with?
Intriguing to get hold? She hasn't mentioned you.
What? Then how in the name of heaven do you know that she wants what you ask?
There can't be any doubt about that.
You absurd, ridiculous child. Then all this is just your own unaided invention. Well, I could thank God.
For what?
Suppose... I'm not going to risk it, but suppose I... Whether I deserve to suffer or not, it's quite certain you don't. Oh, don't cry, dear one. I had to wait till I knew you before I understood the real thing.
Is that true? Loving you has made things clear to me I didn't dream of before. If I could think that because of me you were able to do this...
Do you seriously ask me to give up the girl I love, to go and offer to marry a woman that even to think of...
You cared for her once. You'll care again. She is beautiful and brilliant. Everything. I've heard she could win any man she set herself
to. She's bewitched you.
Geoffrey, you aren't going away like that. This isn't the end.
I suppose even if she refused me...
She won't refuse you.
She did once.
She didn't refuse to marry you.
Wait! Lady John is waiting all this while for the car to go back with a message.
That's not a matter of life and death.
All the same, I'll go down and give the order.
Very well. You'll come back if you're the man I pray you are.
Dearest of all the world.
Oh, I...
I'm leaving.
What is the matter? I've been seeing Geoffrey.
Is this the effect seeing Geoffrey has?
You see, I know now how he spoiled someone else's life.
Who tells you that?
Several people.
Well, you should be very careful how you believe what you hear.
You know it's true.
I know it's possible to be mistaken.
I see. You're trying to shield him.
Why should I? What is it to me?
Oh, how you must love him.
Listen to me.
What's the use of your going on denying it? Geoffrey doesn't. Don't look like that. I shall bring him back to you.
You would be impertinent if you weren't a romantic child. You can't bring him back.
Yes, he...
But there's something you can do.
What?
Bring him to the point where he recognises that he's in our debt.
In our debt?
In debt to women. He can't repay the one he robbed.
Yes, yes.
No, he can't repay the dead. But there are the living. Let him help them. Let him be a friend to women.
Yes. Yes, I understand. That too. Oh, Geoffrey, thank you.
Jean, you rather gave us the slip. Vida, I believe Mr. Stoner wants to see you for a few minutes, but I'd like a word with you first. Geoffrey, do you think the car? Your man said something about recharging.
Yes, I'll see about it.
Mr. Trent has called, miss, to take Miss Levering to the meeting.
Bring Mr. Trent into my sitting room. I'll tell him you can't go tonight.
I know, my dear, that you're not aware of what that impulsive girl wants to insist on.
Yes, I am aware of it.
But it isn't with your sanction, surely, that she goes on making this extraordinary demand.
I didn't sanction it at first. But I've been thinking it over.
Then all I can say is I'm greatly disappointed in you. You threw this man over years ago for reasons, whatever they were, that seemed to you good and sufficient. And now you come between him and a younger woman just to play nemesis, so far as I can make out.
Is that what he says?
He says nothing that isn't fair and considerate.
I can see he's changed.
And you're unchanged. Is that it?
I've changed more than he.
But... you care about him still, Vida?
No.
I see. It's just that you wish to marry somebody.
Oh, Lady John, there are no men listening.
No, I didn't suppose there were.
Then why keep up that old pretense?
What pretense?
That to marry at all costs is every woman's dearest ambition. You and I know it isn't true.
Well, but... oh, it was just the unexpected sight of him bringing it back. That was what fired you this afternoon, of course. The memory of a thing like that can never die. for the woman.
I mean her to think so.
Jean?
Yes.
And it isn't so?
If the newspapers didn't remind me, I shouldn't remember once a 12-month that there was ever such a person as Geoffrey Stoner in the world.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yes, I'm glad too.
Then why in heaven's name do you let poor Jean...
Look, I'll trust you, Lady John. Jean isn't old enough to be able to care as much about a principle as about a person. But if my half-forgotten pain can turn her generosity into the common treasury...
What do you propose she shall do, poor child?
Use her hold over Geoffrey Stoner to make him help us.
Help you?
The man who served one woman, God knows how many more, very ill, shall serve hundreds of thousands well. Geoffrey Stoner shall make it harder for his son, harder still for his grandson, to treat any woman as he treated me.
You must think he has a great deal of power.
Power? Yes. Men have too much over penniless and frightened women.
You talk as though the women hadn't their share of human nature. We aren't made of ice any more than the men.
No, but all the same, we have more self-control.
Than men?
You know we have.
I know we mustn't admit it.
For fear they'd call us fishes.
But you won't.
Who is there who will resist the temptation to say, poor Vida Levering? What a pity she hasn't got a husband and a baby to keep her quiet. But I tell you, the only difference between me and thousands of women with husbands and babies is that I'm free to say what I think. They aren't.
I must get back.
I think you'll find Mr. Stoner downstairs waiting for you.
Oh, well, he will have left word about the car, in any case.
Thank you, Miss Dunbar, and goodbye.
Well, Mr. Trent, I didn't expect to see you this evening.
Have I ever failed?
Lady John, this is one of our allies. Good enough to squire me through the rabble from time to time.
Well, don't believe all she says in the heat of propaganda.
I do believe all she says, but I'm not cast down.
Not when she
says... Was there ever a misogynist of my sex who ended by deciding to make an exception?
Oh, if that's what you build on.
Well, why shouldn't a man-hater on your side prove equally open to reason?
I've come to realise that the first battles of this new campaign must be fought by women alone. The only effective help men could give, amendment of the law, they refuse.
Don't be ungrateful, Vida. Here's Mr. Trent ready to face criticism in publicly championing you.
It's an illusion that I as an individual need, Mr. Trent. I'm quite safe in the crowd. Please don't wait for me and don't come for me again.
Of course, if you'd rather.
And I was asked to thank you and to tell you that the women of the union, they won't need your chairmanship anymore. Though that, I beg you to believe, has nothing to do with any feeling of mine.
Of course. I know there must be other men ready, better-known men.
It isn't that. It's simply that they find a man can't keep a rowdy meeting in order as well as a woman.
What?
You aren't serious.
Haven't you noticed, Mr. Trent, that all their worst disturbances come when men are in charge?
Well, I hadn't connected the two ideas. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Trent. I'll see you to the door.
Of course.
That nice boy is in love with you.
I...
Goodbye. I wish you hadn't been so unkind to him.
Do you?
Yes. For then I would be more certain of your telling Geoffrey Stoner that intelligent women don't nurse their wrongs and lie in wait to punish them. I must go.
Have they primed you? Have you got your lesson by heart at last?
However unpropitious your mood may be, I shall discharge my errand. I have promised to offer you what I believe is called amends.
You come to realise then, after all these years, that you owed me something.
I am not here to deny it.
Pay, then. Pay.
I have promised if you exact it, I will.
If I insist, you'll make it all good. And don't you know you must pay me in kind?
What do you mean?
Give me back what you took from me. My old faith.
Oh, if you mean to make phrases.
Or give me back mere kindness. Or even tolerance. Give me back the power to think fairly of my brothers, not as mockers, thieves.
I have not mocked you. And I have asked you...
Something you knew I should refuse. Or did you dare to be afraid I wouldn't?
I can do no more than make you an offer of such reparation as is in my power. If you don't accept it, well...
Accept it? No. Go away and live in debt. Pay and pay, and find yourself still in debt for a thing you'll never be able to give me back. And when you come to die, say to yourself, I paid all creditors but one.
I'm rather tired, you know, of all this talk of debt. If I hear that you persist in it, I shall have to...
What?
No, I'll keep my resolution.
What resolution?
I came here under considerable pressure to speak of the future, not to reopen the past.
The future and the past are one.
You talk as if that old madness was mine alone. It is the woman's way.
I know. And men suffer as well as we by the woman's starting wrong. We are taught to think the man a sort of demigod. If he tells her, go down into hell she goes.
Make no mistake, not the woman alone.
Yes, they go down together. But the man comes up alone.
My conscience is clear. Most men in my position wouldn't have troubled themselves. I gave myself endless trouble.
So, you've gone about all these years feeling that you discharged every obligation.
Not only that, I stood by you with a fidelity that was nothing short of quixotic. If woman-like, you must recall the past, I insist on you recalling it correctly.
You think I don't?
Not when you make other people believe that I deserted you. It's a curious enough charge when you stop to consider...
Well, when we do, just for 5 minutes out of 10 years.
We remember it was you who did the deserting. You might have had the fairness to tell the facts.
You think the facts would have excused you?
No doubt you've forgotten them, since Lady John tells me you wouldn't remember my existence once a year if the newspapers didn't...
Ah, but you minded that.
I minded your giving false impressions.
I...
Do you deny that you returned my letters unopened?
No.
Do you deny that you refused to see me? And that when I persisted, you vanished?
I don't deny any of those things.
I had no trace of you for years.
I suppose not.
Very well, then. What could I do?
Nothing. It was too late to do anything.
You knew, since you read the papers, that my father died that same year. There was no longer any barrier between us.
Oh, yes, there was a barrier.
Of your own making, then?
I had my guilty share in it. But the barrier was your invention.
It was no invention. If you had ever known my father...
Oh, how often you used to say, if I knew your father. But you said too. You called the greatest barrier by another name.
What name?
The child that was to come.
That was before my father died. While I still hoped to get his consent.
How the thought of that all-powerful personage used to terrorise me. What chance had a little unborn child against the last of the great feudal lords, as you called him?
You know the child would have stood between you and me.
I know the child did stand between you and me.
It did stand.
Happy mothers teach their children. Mine had to teach me.
You talk as if...
Teach me that a woman may do a thing for love's sake. That shall kill love.
You certainly made it plain you had no love left for me.
I had need of it all for the child.
Do you mean that, after all, it lived?
No. I mean that it was sacrificed. But it showed me no barrier is so impassable as the one a little child can raise.
Was that why you... Was that why?
Yes. Day and night, there it was. Between my thought of you and me. When I was most unhappy, I would wake, thinking I'd heard it cry. It was my own crying I heard, but I seemed to have it in my arms. I suppose I was mad. I used to lie there in that lonely farmhouse, pretending to hush it. It was so I hushed myself.
I never knew.
I didn't blame you. You couldn't risk being with me.
You agreed that for both our sakes...
Yes, you had to be very circumspect. Your brilliant political future.
Be fair. Our future, as I saw it then.
Yes. It all hung on concealment. It must have looked quite simple to you. You didn't know that the ghost of a child that had never seen the light, the frail thing you meant to sweep aside and forget, have swept aside and forgotten... You didn't know it was strong enough to push you out of my life. It can do more. It can push that girl out. It can do more still.
Are you threatening me?
No. I am preparing you.
For what?
For the work that must be done. Either with your help or that girl's. One of two things. Either her life and all she has given to this new service. Or a ransom if I give her up to you.
I see. A price. Well?
No. Even if I could trust you to pay, it would be a poor bargain to give her up for anything you could do.
In spite of your assumption, she may not be your tool.
You are horribly afraid she is. But don't think it's merely I that have got hold of Jean Dunbarton.
Who else?
The new spirit that's abroad. How else should that inexperienced girl have felt the new loyalty and responded as she did?
New indeed, however little loyal.
Loyal above all. But no newer than electricity was when it first lit up the world. It had been there since the world began, waiting to do away with the dark. So has the thing you're fighting.
I consented to this interview with the hope. It only remains for me to show her your true motive is revenge.
Once say that to her and you are lost.
I believe you are mad.
In the Middle Ages, men cried out witch and burnt her. The woman who served no man's bed or board.
You want to make that poor child believe...
If women must be freed by women, we have need of such as she. Who knows? She may be the new Joan of Arc.
Good God, can't you see that this crazed campaign you'd start her on, even if it's successful, it can only be so through the help of men?
Why not realise, Geoffrey? This is a thing that goes deeper than personal experience. And yet, if you take only the narrowest personal view... A good deal depends on what you and I agree upon in the next 5 minutes.
You may as well tell me. Do you mean to...
To keep you and her apart? No.
Ah. What can I do for you?
Nothing.
For the real you, not the reformer or the would-be politician... For the woman I so unwillingly hurt. You may not believe it, but now that I understand, there is almost nothing I wouldn't do to right that old wrong.
There's nothing to be done. You can never give me back my child.
Why should you think that it's only you these last 10 years have taught something to? Why not give even a man credit for a willingness to learn something of life and for being sorry, profoundly sorry, for the pain his instruction has cost others? All my life, ever since you disappeared, the thought of you has hurt. I would give anything I possess to know you were happy again.
Oh, happiness.
Why shouldn't you find it still?
Oh, I see. She couldn't help telling you about Alan Trent, Lady John.
You're one of the people the years have not taken from, but given more to. You are more than ever. You haven't lost your beauty.
The gods saw it was so little effectual it wasn't worth taking away. One woman's mishap. What is that? But if many help Geoffrey, the thing can be done.
Lord, how you care.
Don't be so sad. Shall I tell you a secret? Jean's ardent dreams needn't frighten you if she has a child. That, from the beginning, it was not the strong arm, it was the weakest. The little, little arms that subdued the fiercest of us. You will have other children, Geoffrey. For me, there was to be only one. Well, since men alone have tried and failed... to make a decent world for the little children to live in. It's as well some of us are childless. Yes. We are the ones who have no excuse for standing aloof from the fight.
Vida.
What?
You've forgotten something.
I have?
Yes. This.
When did you write this?
Just before you came in. It wants only this. My signature. Now it's yours.
Thank you, Geoffrey. Thank you.
In Votes for Women by Elizabeth Robbins, Vida Levering was Zoe Tapper, Geoffrey Stoner, Samuel West, and Jean Dunbarton, Charity Wakefield. Lady John was Sylvestra Latuzel, Lord John, Michael Burtonshaw, Mrs. Herriot, Joanna Brooks, Richard Farnborough, Jolyon Coy, St. John Greatorex, Sean Murray, and Mrs. Freddy, Philippa Stanton. Ernestine Blunt was Emerald O'Hanrahan, Mr. Pilcher, Ben Crow, and Alan Trent, Rick Warden. The director was Marion Nancarrow.
And you can find out more about Elizabeth Robbins and her play Votes for Women on the Radio 3 website. Next week's Drama on Three is Death and the King's Horseman by Wole Soyinka. It's based on real events in 1940s Nigeria. A colonial district officer intervenes to prevent a local man committing ritual suicide, with far-reaching consequences. And you can hear that play here on Radio 3 next Sunday evening at 9 o'clock.
The new year is almost upon us. But let's look back, because what a year it's been on Radio 3.
And Sir Simon Rattle, bowing from the podium.
Well, my goodness, what a stunning place this is to start the day.
Welcome back to the most exquisite jewel box that is the Sam Wanamaker Playhouse.
Join us live in high-definition four-channel surround sound.
Join me, Katie Derham, to revisit some of the highlights of the past year on Radio 3. Great radio moments, from dramas and documentaries to premieres and, oh yes, some proms. Radio 3's Pick of the Year, at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, here on BBC Radio 3.
In an hour's time at 11.30, we've music by Janáček and Smetana, played by the Tokač Quartet. But it's time now for Early Music Late with Aileen Manahan-Thomas.
Hello. Today we've a recital from the Göttingen International Handel Festival, given in May this year at St. Alexandre's Church in Einbeck. The performers are the Ghilieri Choir and Consort, and this concert was their German debut. They're renowned for their rendition of rare or unpublished works and their interpretation of sacred music of the 18th century. Today's programme brings us Marian compositions by Francesco Durante, Emanuele da Storga and George Frederick Handel, directed by the Consort's founder Giulio Prandi. The concert starts for us with the Magnificat by Francesco Durante, a piece that was for many years misattributed to one of Durante's students, Pergolesi, but which had in Durante's time been a pinnacle of his productive and distinguished career.